Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Wherever you are on this bright blue bubble in space we call our world, it's a great welcome to you for another episode of the Raw Food Barefoot Athlete podcast. My name's Russell.
And I'm Sonia.
And I'm Sonia. Yeah, so you didn't even say hello or anything to the guys.
I did. Yes. Hello, everyone. Yes, everyone, hello.
Okay, that's got us off to a start. So what we're looking at today, of course, is our resume of basically training races, what's happening, ingredient of the week. What should we start with? Should we start with the training and races? Yeah?
Yes, I would like to start with the training and races, Russell.
Well, you go ahead then, dear.
Well, I've changed my mind. Last week we were talking about the Gold Coast Marathon, but I've decided to do the Mount Meme Classic Marathon, which is on the 3rd of May 2014. So it's a totally off-road marathon, and they say that it's one of the hardest in the country, Russell.
Yeah, well, even the... And can we have a bit of a rant about the organiser of this as well? I mean, look, I've known the event organiser for a long time, and he's a prominent organiser for triathlon as well. You know, it's a nice guy, but gee whiz, the website information is just, well, sorry, pathetic. There's no information on where to camp overnight. There's events on there that they've decided to take off the list already. But for people who are not in the know, you wouldn't know. I mean, they had a 62K event, teams event there, but now apparently it's scrapped.
Yeah, well, I was having trouble accessing the website because apparently it was working better in Chrome and not in the Explorer site. So there was some information coming through and some not. So I was very confused, but I've worked it out now. So I'm pretty sure I know what to do on the day.
Yeah, well, I mean, it took you a lot of time to work that out, and a couple of phone calls. And I may sound like I'm having a bit of a dummy spit, but I just think if organisers are going to put something on online, well, get it right, because there'll be other, I mean, especially when you've got people coming from a long way and trying to organise a weekend. Yeah, I think that's got to happen. I mean, look, I don't expect everyone to be perfect. That's not what I'm saying, but it doesn't take much to make sure your website's up to date.
Well, it is hard, Russell, when people are travelling a long way and they've got to work out where they can camp, you know, and obviously they need a good sleep the night before, so it is important to work out good accommodation, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, all right, that's enough of a, you know, bellyache for today. It's and honestly, it's not a rant at the organiser per se, because, you know, it's one of those places, it's one of those events that, you know, it's not run for a lot of money. It is an off-road event, and I mean, look, hey, Phil, you do a great job, you know, but anyway, it was a bit of a peeve when you're trying to get things organised. So that's all right, that's enough of that. What I'm just going to make a point on in this races and training regime today is that what we're doing now is there's going to be two different types of training that's got to be happening in our camp, because Mount Meme Marathon, yeah, look, it's all about hills. As Sonia said, it's one of the hardest off-road triathlon race events in the calendar. So it's one of those measures, again, of getting the hills distance and speed all worked out. I'm just catering on my 5K, so it's going to be a lot different than running hills. But I still think that for me, I know it works, is that combination of hills, doing a little bit of distance but keeping your speed, is a really good combination, whether you're a barefoot runner or a shod runner. And that's what we're looking at the moment, is just getting that mix happening where that we can both do a bit of training together but still be more specific for our distances that we're going for. And I mean, I'm quite happy to go run a hill, and that's why I still like those 5K events we're doing that are in the park run, you know, that off-road run, which means we better get back and do one of them soon.
Yes, I think so. We might have to go there this Saturday, Russell, to Bunyaville, I think.
Well, I thought it was New Farm we're going to this week.
Well, it depends on what we're training for.
You see, this is the conflict now, isn't it? we always had it that, to put it in a bit of a training schedule within a race schedule, was that we would look to do longer run hills type of events, and then just the park run event would be like a quick run that we would look for. So we'd look for the park run as a quick run, whereas, you know, the Bunyaville race is not a quick run.
No, it's definitely not quick. It's up and down, and, you know, it's quite gnarly, the rocks and things underfoot, so it's definitely not a fast course.
Yeah, well, and that's why as we get closer to our, well, real part of the season, that's what we'll be looking at, is making sure that every bit of running we do is taking us to a particular goal, eh?
Yeah, that's for sure. And I, obviously, with the Mount Me Marathon, I'm going to be doing a lot of walking, so that whole walk-run ratio will have to be worked out.
And while that is part of our training regimes, just shortly is, not shortly, but it's something that we haven't nailed down yet, but, well, I should let you talk more about that, because you're the one that's really doing it. And well, that's another thing we haven't put into practice yet, is Sonia just getting out and actually doing the run, walk, run Galloway method, whereas you've got the times worked out that you need to do it, but you haven't actually gone out and done it yet.
No, I mean, it's obviously going to work better on a flat course. I mean, the Mount Me Marathon being as steep as it is, the hills are so steep you really can't run up a lot of them. You have to walk, so that would be a determination of, you know, it will determine how much walking I do. But on the flatter areas, I will do a minute walking and 2 minutes fast run, and then again minute walk. That's the way I'll do it, I'm thinking.
Yeah, it is going to be. It's going to be a great experiment. I'm really looking forward to it because part of the Pentath run is the half marathon. And last year what I did is I didn't do the half marathon and just concentrated on the other four races. But I will look at doing the half marathon in that run, walk, run. Run, walk, run. Yeah,
that's,
I got it right.
Yeah,
I got
it. You'll be running more than walking, so that's right. Run, walk, run.
Yeah. So I'm not going to do it as a really dedicated project, but it seems to be like two on, one off. Is that the schedule?
Yeah, well, it depends on your actual pace, but there is a calculator on the Jeff Galloway website that you can work it out depending on how fast you are. So that's the ratio that will be calculated for you by the calculator on there.
Yeah, so the ratios go down and up, don't they, according to the time you want to do it. That's right, yeah. So I'll be just looking at running the half, and a long time since I've run a half marathon.
No, it's not, Russell. We did one last October, remember, up at Nightcap National Park.
Yeah, well, that was off-road and totally barefoot, and
it was a half marathon. It was long. It was 25 kilometres.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm still remembering. Anyway, if I said on a bad day, I do 140. So, you know, if I'll look to do 140 at a run walk pace and just see if I can't save my legs for the sharper 5Ks and 10K hills.
Well, if I can do the Warwick Penteth half marathon in under the 2 hour mark, which is what I did it with my shoes on last year, if I can equal that with the run, walk, run method, I'll be really happy with that.
Yeah, so it's actually getting exciting now. We're getting close to the things we want to do, and hopefully in another 3 weeks or so, the weather will be cooling down. And for us here in southeast Queensland, it doesn't really get cold. You know, a couple of little frosty nights on the occasion, but, you know, it's coming in that time of year that it's really good running conditions. So, all right, well, that's enough of that. So let's go on to you ready for the ingredient of the week? And we'll get into that.
Yes. Now, I'd like to talk to you today about desiccated coconut. Now, this is still in the top 10 ingredients in my pantry, and I've been doing a lot of research on this particular ingredient of late because I'm really concerned about the sulfur dioxide in there that's used as a preservative. So I think that a lot of people probably don't know that. I think that you should be looking at the ingredients on the back and just make sure that it hasn't got too much of that sulfur dioxide in it. And obviously if you go organic, it has no sulfur dioxide in it. But there is shredded coconut and there's desiccated coconut. So I was just going to share with you the differences there. So I think a lot of people don't know what the difference is there. Shredded coconut is coconut meat that is dried slightly and shredded, and then it's usually sweetened. Now, I didn't know that until I did all the research. And desiccated coconut is coconut meat that is grated, dried to less than 3% moisture content, and then ground to a fine flake or powder. So where I use desiccated coconut is in nearly all of my cookies and slices, and in some sauces and for decorations, you know, sprinkling it over the top of tarts or rolling the chocolate balls in for decorational purposes. So just a little bit of nutritional facts now. With 1/3 of desiccated coconut per day.
Can I just ask you about just the desiccated coconut? Now, why are we using that instead of the ordinary coconut that we get out of the coconut shells? You know, the one we do by us, you know, in the little grinder thing. What's the difference in using, you know, a made up desiccated or a coconut?
Just straight from the coconuts.
Yeah.
Well, you're looking at the moisture. I mean, there's a lot of work in grinding it up yourself and putting it in the dehydrator to get it down to that moisture. I mean, you can do it. If you've got heaps of time, that's the case. But if you get a good organic desiccated coconut that has been taken down to 3% moisture and you're sure that it hasn't got any preservatives in it, then it can make life a lot easier. So it depends on how much time you've got and whether you want to go to all that trouble, Russell. So, yeah. Well, I've got better things to do than be grinding and drying. I mean, I've got, you know, I've got recipes to create. So I just want to give you a little bit of information. The 1/3 of a cup of desiccated coconut per day offers 778 micrograms of manganese, so which is a 43% of recommended daily intake for women and 34% for men, as well as 1/4 of your recommended daily copper intake. So for me, organic desiccated coconut has gained itself 10th place in my pantry list.
So it's a top 10 ingredient still.
It's coming in at number 10.
Yeah, well, have we gone through the 10 ingredients yet?
Or? Yes, we have. I've got them on my list. Do you want me just to tell you what they are again?
Yeah. What?
Okay, well, I have in top place coconut oil, which is number 1. Then we've got cacao powder, then coconut cream, cashews, dates, maple syrup, walnuts, almonds, oats, and desiccated coconut.
Well, there you go. Yay for the top 10!
The top 10. So next week we've got number 11.
So we're going to start working down the list, are we? Oh, okay, all right. Well, look, and honestly, we use that sort of top 10 as part of our pantry list that we put out in the last Raw Food Barefoot weekend. So, and well, that's so. Well, we'll roll into what's on and what's been happening, I suppose, and that's what we've been doing. Like, we took a bike ride down to the Northey Street Markets on the weekend. That's about a 40k round trip for us, and what we're looking at doing now is for our we're getting things in place for the next event, and we're looking at the essential oils.
Yes, we should have a really good guest speaker coming along to talk to us about the Australian essential oils. It's a new company.
Yes, yeah. It looks really, especially when you're looking at the role of essential oils. I mean, you use it in some of the little goodies you make.
Yes, and this particular company has got three new certified ones that are able to be used as input for human consumption.
Yeah, and that's a big deal, to get it all certified for human consumption. So we got the I hope that will come off, but we'll have a kombucha tea making demonstration. The kombucha tea is known as the tea of immortality, and I mean, it's been around for a while, obviously, a couple of thousand years, but there's definite art in getting it together and what it does for you. And we'll hopefully have a little bit more on the minimalist shoe manufacturer as well.
Yes, well, I had a little bit of a problem with one of my sandals the other day. I'm running along and then, I thought it's a bit loose. And, of course, it fell apart halfway through our run, and then I had to run along on the grass, and you carried my shoes home.
Yeah, it was a little bit disappointing. It was a screw-in type that they're using for the new unshoe type of product. Well, it's the unshoe product and the new type of fastenings that they're using in it. Well, unfortunately, we just have not had a good bit of luck with this getting it fitting us and feeling good, eh?
No, well, I mean, I have a little bit of problem. There seems to be a bit of a discrepancy between the two shoes. I think that one just seems to be, in general, tighter than the other. Doesn't matter what I do, I just can't get it to sit properly. The right-hand side one fits perfect, but the left one's been a challenge since day one.
Mm. Yeah, I'm just not comfortable with my shoes either, just the way they're fitting, and just one of those things, eh? But it's just here, isn't it? So, all right. Well, let's. Is there anything I've forgotten at all that you wanted to add, Sonia?
No, I think you've done a pretty good job of covering most of the topics so far, Russell.
Yeah. So, well, look. What we'll do is I'm just going to go on to the topic of the week, and what brought this one around is a couple of things that we were sort of saying about when you're out and running, whether you use headphones, and I've got the topic of the week I put down is it dangerous to run with headphones? And I know, for myself, look, I never have really used earphones, and I know you're a little bit different, Sonia.
Yes, well, there was a stage there, Russell, where I had convinced myself that I couldn't run without having my music blasting in my ears. And, there has been times when there's been vehicles come up behind me and I didn't know they were there. I really did scare myself. But this marathon I'm running at Mount Mee in May, it will be the first long run that I will do without my headphones on. And I think it's going to be a completely different experience, but it's where I'm heading, because I think that you can just numb yourself to all the experiences out there if you just have the music blasting your ears the whole like 5 hours or so. It's just ridiculous just to spend that much time just having bang 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 in your ears.
Yeah, and I'll just read you off some numbers here that Look, it is a dangerous practice running with headphones, and doctors have definitely seen an increase in the number of runners who have had accidents while wearing headphones. And this study, I think the results were like 116 reports of death or injury of pedestrians wearing headphones, and that's just over, like, I think in 2010-11, it might be a bit dated, but I remember it's just one research that I had. I can only assume maybe it's got worse, you know, but it look, it doesn't matter if it's just one person gets injured through wearing earphones while running. It's just not a safe practice. I mean, of that statistics, the majority of victims were male, 68%, and under the age of 30, 67%. The majority of vehicles involved in the crashes were trains, and 89% of those cases occurred in urban counties. 74% of case reports stated the victim was wearing headphones at the time of the crash. So, I mean, in some of these, like 29% of the cases mentioned that a warning was sounded before the crash took place. So it's like Sonia was saying, I mean, it's an obvious conclusion that the use of headphones with, you know, handheld devices or your iPod can pose a safety risk to pedestrians, especially, and, you know, pedestrians, runners, you know, especially in environments with with moving vehicles, you know. So what you're saying is exactly true.
Yes, well, they're at the Pentath Run in Warwick in May. They run from Warwick to Yangang along the main road, and they can't get road closures, so it's a must that you're not allowed to wear headphones on that particular half marathon. So it's quite challenging for those people who are used to doing that to have to just leave them behind that day.
Yeah, and I know some major events have put bans on wearing headphones, but I know a couple of them, you know, reneged later because of some sort of backlash. But look, the actual pros and cons of wearing earphones or music, shall we say, there's a lot of reasons why people wear them, and music can sometimes make running feel easier, and like there are studies out there that find, you know, that music, I think, reduces your perception of how hard you are running by something around about 10%. So, you know, an external stimulus like music can actually block some of the internal stimuli trying to reach the brain, you know, fatigue-related messages from muscles and organs. So, you know, like when these messages are blocked, this can reduce a runner's perception of effort, so you can feel like you can run further and faster. Well, whether you need music for that's another question. But I suppose, you know, like if you're looking at the cons too, one big problem is that listening to music can remove you from the other sounds that running produces. And this is, I'm talking internal stuff like, you know, breathing, foot strike. And these are all essential cues. I mean, they give you feedback on your effort. I mean, that's part of why, you know, so we run barefoot, because I believe it gives you a lot better feedback. But, and that's an aside to this discussion at the moment. But, and again, you know, just running while listening to music can basically remove you from the environment you're in, and which can be unsafe. People getting run over, and even in races, it can make you oblivious of other runners. And I have. I've been, you know, like just barged into almost by another runner wearing earphones. I mean, but, you know, and the other thing is you can't hear. I mean, let's just face it, you're running, you're sweaty. I mean, if an official is trying to tell you something and you can't see him, what's the chance of you going to hear him, you know? Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, and our club does races where we are officials, and honestly, you know, like just the fatigue that comes from people anyway, they're coming out of off out of a bush track into a road, and you're trying to tell them to stop them, you've almost got to knock them over before they're hearing anyway, you know. So, you know, a bit of music in there is going to make your life a lot more difficult. So, anyway, that's just that rant. And like, it's part of what I alluded to before, you know, when, I mean, who needs the music? When's it needed? Like, you know, serious athletes, you know, tend to be what they call associators, which means they focus intently on internal cues such as breathing, heart rate, you know, muscular tension. And this sort of athlete tends to not derive as much benefit from external stimuli, you know, such as the music. Now, that's just one type. And then there are the dissociators. Now, probably your average active person will probably fall into this category. And for these people, as I said before, the music can be a motivational force, because sort of disassociators will basically seek it to distract them from the boredom, you know, often they, you know, associate it with exercise, you know. So you know, it sort of leads you into, you know, why do you want to wear earphones? Why do you need music? Basically, you know, why do you run? You know, what mindfulness do you apply when you're running? And I know, like, for me, you know, I like to run and listen to my body, and sometimes I just go and just run. You know, just like that saying, you know, sometimes I sit and think, and sometimes I just sit and, you know, apply that to running plenty of times. But, look, and another, don't go into too much of a rant, but, you know, like, the ability to be at peace and calm is something I think we've lost in our culture, and it gets lost in the favour of multitasking. And, look, I would argue that listening to music or podcasts or audiobooks by running is that form of multitasking. It takes you away from the present tense, takes you away from the moment. But, yeah, you know, with all those other things I said, whether you need music as a disassociator or associator, all those things come into play. But, I mean, you know, when you're in that flow state, which is the complete immersion in the task at hand, you know, time almost seems to stand still. You know, I personally don't need the music, but that's, I mean, you were just alluding to that before, weren't you, Sonia? Like, you used to feel like you needed the music?
Well, I think that some of us can get trapped. It almost becomes like a fashion accessory. You know, you get the shoes, the clothes, the, you know, the caps, and, you know, you've got to get the MP3 player, the headset. It's all part of the whole package. And you know, everyone's doing it. So, you know, you've got to get it. You've got to look the same. This is the problem.
Yeah, and that's right. You know, and why is that? You know, is it the accoutrements that needed to be a marathoner? You know, or a runner? You know, so I mean, if you're enjoying what you're doing, you feel at one with yourself. You know, so I mean, that's why I'm such a proponent of a barefoot raw food lifestyle. You know, just stripped down to its barest simplicity. So, I mean, I hear the comments that I hear is like, you know, when I'm in training for my marathon, I need something to help me through all those Ks. Well, look, basically, look, I've no connection with you. You know, like, you know, stop it. Then don't do it. Don't run the Ks, you know. And look, for me, you know, I have to admit, I'm not a marathon runner. I just, you know, I never will be, because I see a lot of people running marathons, you know, they're people who have other goals and aspirations other than achieving a level of fitness that I aspire to. You know, in the way I view it, marathon running is an event, not a sport, same as the Ironman triathlon, you know. I mean, you know, marathon participation around the world is is booming in recent years. I mean, given the numbers that are supported by data, it's obvious that running the 40k 26 mile distance is becoming the de facto goal for many beginner runners. And look, the intention to get off the couch and start a new life-based activity on healthy eating and mindful decisions is something that I truly encourage. But the endurance events, though, are not a long-term viable choice in many aspects for the vast majority of punters. Look, I know I'm not going to make myself very popular with the hardcore marathoners and Ironman tattooed contingent, but to me, look, they're just another money time-sucking event and ones that have very little to do with health and fitness and more what it has to do with obsessive indulgence and buying the latest and greatest toy that the consumer marketplace has on offer. Now, I'm not saying that you should not set a goal to compete in an Ironman event or run a marathon, climb Mount Everest or firewalk, you know. Just when you're doing this sort of stuff, just understand your reasons why you want to be involved. You know, is it for health and fitness or is it to purge yourself of demons and dragons that there are definitely better ways to slay? So, you know, That's my little rant on that for the day, and interesting to see what comes back out of that one. But for ourselves, I'll leave it at that. You know, but I'm a 5K fitness person, and Sonia's doing her marathon for her reasons, and yeah, that's her. Her joining,
Yeah, well, I have reasons to do the marathon, Russell. I have shared that with you, and the marathon. My first marathon has only happened 2 years ago, and it's helped me get over a major life change. So it really did help me to, it wasn't about the running or the marathon. It was just part of my change.
Mm. And so I say, that's a journey for you, but it's not a. It's not a long-term, health benefit to be caught up in, So anyway, look, I'll basically just offer again for comments to be left at our Facebook page or on the blog. And until next time, I wish you all the best in your training. And it's from Russell. It's goodbye.
Yes, and goodbye from me too. See you later.
Remember, take off your shoes. Go for a run. Shoe manufacturers don't own your soul.